Hey guys, it's Michelle Collins. Welcome to the Michelle Collins Show. It's my show, and I'm thrilled you're here. We're going to be bringing you episodes every single week with different co-hosts, the same usual nonsense, off-the-cuff humor, news, advice, pop culture. I know it's a novel concept for a podcast, but what can I say? I'm an innovator. That's what I do. You'll be getting episodes every week, but if you want to hear daily episodes, you can head over to my Patreon. That's www.patreon.com/MishCall, MichColl. I have co-hosts every single day. It's funny. It's loose. It's authentic. I do weekly episodes with my mother. If you're curious as to how someone is made this way, I highly recommend tuning into those and some video content as well, which is exciting. I'm off to contour, but I want you to enjoy this episode. It's fabulous. We adore you and we look forward to seeing you over on the Patreon. Hello, everyone. It's Michelle Collins. Welcome to Midnight Snack. It's my podcast, which is identical to the Michelle Collins Show, different only in name. We bring Dan Acton in every week. But Dan, I'm starting to think we should just combine the shows. I'm having this moment where about it for a while. I think I'm hitting a wall a little bit. I think we need to do it. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out there to people to get them comfortable with the idea in advance.
Okay.
But for now, it is still Midnight Snack, and I'm here. Complicated thing today with Dan Acton. They're doing construction in his home, and the one place, or near his home, the one place where you can't hear it is in his kitchen. So he joins us now live, standing in his kitchen for the whole show. It's Dan Acton.
Hi. Hey, Michelle. Hi. Just cooking up an omelet. Multitasking.
Boy. Yeah. The one thing I know about you, multitasker, right. Task Alice. There's got to be a task joke somewhere in there. Dan Acton, you just came back from what to me seemed like such a lovely little mini break, would you call it?
Oh, yeah. You mean
what was it? Your vacation?
Oh, my vacation. I thought you meant my office space. It was lovely. I went to Pennsylvania this weekend with our friends, Bob and Amanda. I saw our other friends, Brendan and Kenny. It was very relaxing. Yeah. I almost like slept most of the time, so I was not a great guest, I don't think, but you know, whatever, I was there to relax. So,
you know, I feel like there's such guilt around sleep because I came back from my trip Sunday, technically like back to my house, and it has been raining nearly every day here. I'll tell you what happens to me. If I look at my weather app and I see, oh, it's going to rain Wednesday, mentally, I say to myself, great, I don't have to leave the house Wednesday. And then what happens is because Apple Weather, as we all know, the only thing worse than the Apple Weather app is their keyboard these days. So, you know, the weather app is always wrong. I love that, by the way, breaking boundaries here, breaking glass ceilings, talking about the weather app being wrong. You know, maybe we shouldn't change the name. Maybe the name is just fine.
I think we should keep this against as many, behind as many paywalls.
Yeah,
and
really.
Obstacles as fast as possible.
No, but this happened to me yesterday where it was like, in my mind, I thought, oh, it's going to rain. Good. I love like a cozy day in on a rainy day.
Yeah.
And then it was beautiful out. And yet mentally, I still stayed in because I thought, well, I'm not going to, it's raining. And then guess what? I did go out last night, but then guess what? Pouring rain all day today. And I also haven't, I'm going out again tonight, but I haven't left my house. It's like, and I slept a lot and I felt bad. That's just true.
Well, I'm running back and forth from this like workspace to my home. So I'm working at the workspace. I'll come home for lunch or whatever. And it's either like 1,000% humidity or it breaks and just like pours rain.
God. See, that's one thing I do not miss along with every other thing about that town.
Well,
but just
the
humidity, except for you, Dan, and the Romance Depot or whatever it's called. Is it still open?
It's now like it officially has these huge like 10-foot letter sign that says it's a safe space. It's a community zone.
Hilarious.
It's like whatever.
Community zone.
Like, yeah,
can I rent a floating desk there? Is that where you're working from? Are you working from the Romantic Depot?
Yeah. Well, actually today I did see something funny. Like it's a big, it's like a Pan Quotidien or whatever. Like it's all these like big tables to like work from this workspace I'm working. And so I look over and like, there's this kind of like hot guy, you know, starting to do his work or whatever.
Sure.
He has a big glass bowl of yogurt.
Oh boy.
He has to, like,
don't turn me on. It's the break of dawn here.
Yeah.
You say big glass bowl of yogurt, Dan, it's a family show.
So I just, like, you know, I glanced or whatever, and he's like, you know, eating a little bit. And then I look over and he's like licking the bowl.
I'm vomiting.
I'm like, I don't know. He was cute. So I was like, you know, yes, but you know, life is short. Lick the bowl. Like, I was like,
he was licking the bowl in my lips. Every muscle in my neck is pulled like the strings of Yo-Yo Ma's cello. I am horrified at that. Was it a clear bowl? Like, what, like,
yeah,
a pirate?
So you could see this. Yeah, I so you could see the tone going.
What is this? Like, what is it? Golden Retriever? This is thick. This is thick. Are you for real?
Yeah.
How so close is he to you?
10 feet.
Oh my God. Okay. So then what?
So I gave like a little shudder, but yeah, I wanted to be like, you know, it was involuntary.
Shutter Island.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and then he got up to do something and then came back and like faced the other way.
Did he?
Yes.
You know, it's so funny. I was just discussing this, and it actually came up on the Michelle Collins Show, which you can go to patreon.com/mishcall. And by the way, I do shows every single day. I just want people to know, and they're always funny. But this has been a real topic this week about gross eaters. I have a new friend in town, very lovely guy named Kevin. We went for drinks yesterday, which actually that was also funny because I don't know, you know, when you're in a foreign country, Kevin is American as well. When you're in a foreign country, it's just like, everything is a little funny and you're the one in the wrong at all times, which is fine. I've come to terms with it. I'm used to it at this point, but we were discussing. So we went to this bar where it was all like 20-year-olds working there and they wanted, I believe the term is nothing to do with us, but we got like wine or whatever. And then he's married, and he was saying how when he first met his husband, that his husband is like, I hope he doesn't mind me putting him on blast like this here, but that is no, because he was saying his husband eats, like he's like a focused eater, you know, he's like, what if he has a bowl of food in front of him, but he also talks while he's doing it. So it's not as noticeable, you know, he's like into the food, but he's also conversing. So it's almost part of his culture, the way he eats, if that makes sense.
I guess.
Whereas I'm trying to, like, you know, whereas he once dated a guy who he said was such a disgusting eater that he was so into him. But the moment he saw him eating, it was over, just a literal caveman. And there was a guy that I mean, this was literally 20 years ago, a guy I had a crush on who I knew, we were friends and I really liked him a lot. Very entirely too complicated a story. But the first time I remember we went out to eat together, and I remember it as I'm telling it, as though I'm at the table right now, glass bowl, 10-inch long tongue. We went to like some falafel place in the East Village. He was hunched over this falafel platter, no utensils involved, fingies only, with the tahina and the hummus and the balls and all the other shit that goes with it.
Oh.
Hummus dripping from his mouth. It was, and this was a guy who kind of, you know, went to a good school. Not that it matters, but like, I knew his family, lovely family, you know, and just one of the most disgusting, like Nell, you know, like going to get falafel with Nell, which is something that really we should write. Falaf now. I don't know. There's something there. But the point is, it like someone who had never seen, thank you, who had just like never seen food before. There's something there.
I hate when you bring like Helen Keller to something. You're like, okay, there's 15 different sauces here.
Like, you know,
yeah,
I mean, exactly. Don't
it's right.
It, like queso, maybe not on the menu tonight. Right. I'm just saying when you go with someone who you know is going to be a little messy anyway, and that just, it killed it. I mean, I still had a thing for him, but it killed it. Like, I just remember thinking, God, how did this happen? And so your story is very much in, it's just like really a topic. And my friend Sarah, who co-hosted this week, talked about this guy we call Fried Rice because he once came to a party at a restaurant and ordered a bowl of fried rice and no one else was eating. Everyone else was just drinking, which is already really funny to be like at a drinks only party and be like, I'm going to get a bowl of fried rice. And he got some fried rice and he was just hunched over the bowl, flirting, horfing down this fried rice. So we've called him Fried Rice since. But yeah, what is it? I wonder, because we talk about manners a lot on this show. We talk about a lot of things, but is it a lost art? Because, you know, I have complicated feelings about young kids and how they're getting raised these days.
Yeah.
I know friends of friends. I refuse to throw anyone under the bus today, and I won't. I'll just talk about everyone anonymously. Who friends, and this is really a friends of friends. I don't really know these people, but they have two kids. And my friends were around these kids who have absolutely zero discipline in the house, but none, zero. And every single thing with a 3-4-year-old little girl is a negotiation. So the dad will say, like, go downstairs. She's like, I don't want to go downstairs. And then that's a 25-minute long conversation of, well, you need to go downstairs, you know.
So it ends up, I'll go halfway downstairs. If nobody's exactly. happy, then
no, but it's like, these are children. They need direction. They need discipline. They seek it. They crave discipline, not just need it. It's like, well, that is,
too.
Listen, keep your dating life out of this. Look, I, this is what is going on today. All this, you know, after I've been locked in the home for so long in the rain, I start to really lose it. The end of the story is that, I worry that the new generation of parents are so blasé that many of these younger people are just not, their etiquette is done. I don't know. Will they know how to hold a fork and knife? I don't know. Am I crazy? 100%.
Well, I don't know. Like, I think
who licks
like,
a bowl? Who licks a bowl in public? You're not
yeah,
even
well,
supposed
that was,
to
that
drink
was like
tea.
A lot. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. But I do things like I'm sneaking in food places that I don't know, like the
that's different
just because we've been like in the house alone for most things for a few years. That's what I'm blaming anyway, that you do kind of like forget
how to behave.
Yeah. Or that other people can see you maybe.
Oh, funny. Well, sneaking food in, are you talking like sneaking like stuff into the movies or whatever? I don't think that's bad.
Yeah. Anything kind of surreptitious, yeah, like I'll do it. I don't know. I feel weird eating in this like workspace. So like, I kind of like do it quickly and like get rid of the trash and stuff. It probably looks stupid, but.
Well, that's our, you know, I have that too. That's just because we have food issues because, you know, if I'm at a big party with a past app, I'm like a dog who got in trouble. Like the way that I eat appetizers at a party, you know, some people, I really always wonder, how were you raised? People who stand in the middle of the room, spotlight on, just Bellinis, sliders, wings, you know,
you
lamb on
it.
A stick, you name it, just going for it in public. Whereas for me, I will try to tackle a server in the darkest corner, you know, Thai cave rescue style in the corner, snatch an app and pray that nobody sees me putting food in my mouth. And that is definitely like, that's a mental illness thing. And I am hyper aware. I know.
Yeah. I think that carries over. And then I, you know, don't eat anything. Well, actually, never mind.
What?
Cut.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Well, food issues.
We're fucked up people. It's funny. Also, you're talking about a shared workspace because I'm dealing with this similar issue here where because I'm locked in the house genuinely pretty much all day. I mean, I'll go for like a walk, you know, but I'm okay. So listen, so I'm torn because I could do what you're doing, which is sign up for like a floating desk, you know, at one of these shared office spaces here in Amsterdam. Couple things. Number one, they're expensive. Obviously I couldn't do the show from there. So I'd have to like you come home for that, which is fine. But my thing is, and people are going to tell me that I'm dumb as shit. And P.S. spoiler alert, guess who knows that first and foremost me. I don't want to be like, you know how Chris Rock used to have a joke, like you don't want to be the old man at the club. I don't want to be the old lady at the workspace. Like, I don't want to be some, I know you just hear me out because I have a feeling most it's a very young city to begin with. Often I look around, I'm going, everyone here is 25, like everybody. So I don't want to show up at a workspace because part of the reason I want to do it is to like make friends or also just feel social, like I'm out and doing things. My fear is though, I knowing myself, I am also much like eating in public, not in a restaurant, but just at a party, something changes there. But I'm also self-conscious in workspaces. For example, when I lived in LA and I would bring my laptop to like a Starbucks or whatever to work, I would get nothing done. I would have my laptop open. And I'd be, this was in the time of G-Chat, which I miss every day. I'd be G-Chatting people.
Oh,
I'd be
G-Chat. That was the best.
But they fucked up with getting rid of G-Chat. What was that?
I don't know. G-Chat and the Google Reader. Like the internet used to be that. Like good. Anyway.
Let me tell you, can I just, if now we're on the subject of Google for 1 second. Thank you, Dan. No, I'm also mad. Because I used to like on Google when you would search like Velvet Flats, and which is a daily, that's my daily.
Is that your block? The latest dispatch from Velvet Flats.
I'm a call girl, but I'm like the tall call girl. That's my thing. I'm like, oh, what did Velvet Flats? Sorry, today that does sound like Gossip Girl. You're right. She's the star of Falafel. It's Falafel and Velvet. and they're out in the town. They're having a great time. Okay, so listen. You idiots. No, but I do look for velvet flats, I would say 3 times a week. I really, it's too personal. I shouldn't have said that. The point is this. I do Google them because I love a nice pair of velvet flats. Sorry, it's who I am. And they changed it. They used to have a shopping tab. So it would come up. The first thing obviously was like results. And then right. It would be images. And usually with something like that, it would say shopping, which I liked because you could click. It wasn't always accurate, but you could see like who was selling stuff like that. It was okay. They changed it because everything that's good, they change in the world. And now it comes up a thing that just says products, which I also hate that. I don't know. For some reason, it's like different. And then I click products and it just sucks. It's not the same thing. They got rid of, I don't know, maybe I'm doing something wrong, but I don't know where that shopping tab is and I'm not happy about it.
I'll get all this stuff, but it's like, first off, it'll be like wish.com stuff where it's like a velvet flat, but it's actually like a millimeter big or something.
I was going to say it's a concrete mule.
Yeah.
I'm like, these aren't velvet flats at all. Okay, go on.
No, it's annoying. Like I share your what was I looking at? Oh, you know, this was last week actually. The last time I googled something was like a marble globe because I was trying to figure out what you're talking about last year.
Yes,
and I was like, oh, you know what, you could get one for $50 at CB2.
It was like a paperweight, by the way.
I don't know. Yeah,
I got so many DMs and texts, including from our friend Rose Abdu. Shout out to Rose, we miss you, we love you, who agreed that that marble globe would cost minimum $500. Some people reached out to say, my dad had one of the, like, people that really stirred up the listeners a little bit. So I think that guess of another woman who listened to the show said, I also did the Prices Right in the boat and also overbid for the marble globe in a different show.
Wait, wow.
I'm telling you, small world, you don't even know. Okay, we talked about Google. You know, Dan, you and I think became friends on GChat. Like, that's where our friendship really blossomed.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably when we were first starting writing. Yeah, because the Google chat, that was, or GChat, that was the whole deal.
Go on.
Well, I have breakups on GChat.
Do you?
Like, broken up on GChat. And so I'm kind of glad that it's gone. Like, I don't want to, like, across it. But yeah.
Can you still search? You must be able to still search your chats because... There are certain things in my life where, you know, if God willing, I ever sit down to write that fucking book, you know, that I know that I'm going to want to cross-reference.
Velvet flats, volume 1.
How beautiful. My book would come in a velvet flat. Like, it would be a huge canoe-shaped book. Just like, this is it. My baby. I did it. No, but there are certain things in my life, pivotal moments in my life, that I know that I've G-chatted, like, what happened to people.
Yeah.
And I remember when doing it, and we're talking many, many years ago, that I thought one day I'm going to turn back to these chats for like historical purposes, you know, to figure out what the hell was going on. But yeah.
Well, I kind of think they're gone because like last week I got an email, your Gmail is full. And like, they basically want you to pay for Gmail.
Yeah, I think I do pay for it.
I don't want to pay for it.
I don't blame
so you. I was like, you know what? Delete everything. Like, I don't care.
No, I kept my Gmail piping hot. Well, that's very exciting. Oh, what's this? Okay, so wait. I mean, there's so much to get to. I'm glad that you had a nice vacation. I'm sorry you had to watch a man like a bull. What else can I tell you? Nothing else. I saw Barbie. I talked about it to death.
Oh, you did? Oh, well, I just saw it last night. Can we do like a...
You hit me with, and I want you to hit me with your honest opinion.
I laughed out loud. Like, I hadn't watched all the trailers, which I guess covers some of the stuff. I really laughed at the beginning, the opening.
Agree. Loved.
I laughed really hard at the last line.
Very cute. Agree. Liked it.
I thought it was funny.
It was.
And I laughed at a lot of the stuff in between. I laughed at a lot of the discontinued Barbie stuff that everybody in the theater remembered
that was
and
funny.
Knew about. I really like that. I thought it was directed and conceived on like a human level. Like, you think of like just the way they moved, you're like, yeah, that's the way a Barbie doll moves.
It was clever.
And the way she like floats down from the house right into the car. It's like, oh, I haven't seen that before. It's not like special effects extravagant. It was really relatable and human. Like, yeah, that's how you play with Barbies. I don't know, it had like moments where it was a little slow in the middle,
heavy-handed,
but I don't know.
I've already, like, I feel like I've talked Barbie to death, and by the way, I agree with every single thing you've said, but you know, I like to be contrarian sometimes and, you know, point out things, but truthfully, I feel like I've said this at least seven times. So this is like me just telling my friends the same thing over and over again on the same show. Volume was too low and there were over perfumed women in front of us. So I had two senses that were already out of whack watching it. So the movie was already kind of put, like, I couldn't completely lose myself in it, 'cause I was always aware of what I was sniffing and also like, you know, leaning and hoping to catch every word, which does stress me out. I was thinking if it had happened in New York or Miami, I would have been out of my seat. Hi, can you please turn the volume up?
Yeah.
But isn't it funny that I didn't do that here? And you know what else? I'll tell you what, if this had been New York, because I've had this happen before, volume's too low and you think, should I get up and say something? And before you can even get out of your seat, someone else has done it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Right. So I was hoping, but I forget that this is the kind of country where it's anything goes, you know, so no one did it. yeah, whatever. It was fine. I don't think I'll see it again.
Did you have any nostalgia? Because what I was struck by, like, you know, everything is a nostalgia moving for the last 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Mostly for boys. And this was the first thing that I've been to where, like, people were really excited. Over the credits, they show all the old Barbies and people were dying, looking at like a mermaid Barbie because they had played with it in the 90s or something. Did you have any like nostalgia for any of that stuff?
So, you know, what's funny. And this is chapter one of Velvet Flats, just if anyone's wondering. when I was little, because I was always bigger than everyone, and I know this sounds insane, but it's just true. I was always the tallest kid, always. Even in kindergarten, when I went to Temple Menorah, you know, when we did our Hanukkah show, all the other kids were the little menorah candles. The guests who played the shamash, I played it. I was in the middle singing my little heart out. Thank God I love the spotlight, because you know that I was giving it my all. I mean, that people were going, who is she? We love her. Like, you know, it's really killing it. From that stage straight to Joe's Pub next month. I should reenact that actually and bring eight little audience members on stage to sing O Hanukkah. That would be hilarious, actually. Anyway, point is that Barbies to me were always little, you know. I knew even when I was, because I had Barbies, obviously. And I always remember being like, she's so tiny, like her tiny stupid feet, like just a tiny boned doll.
Really?
But I also had a Gem doll. Gem and the Holograms. Yep. Rock star Gem.
Well,
and don't forget, my mother is also tall, you know, so I come from a big footed family. And the Gem doll was a good, I don't know, 2 inches taller than Barbie in my toy box. Yep. In my toy box where I kept all my Barbie shoes. Let me just tell you, you could easily locate Gem's shoes because they were 4 times the size. They were huge.
You're like putting on the shoe. You're like, oh, that's Gem's. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Whoops. no, but they were just bigger plastic shoes. And I always, I remember like actually talking about it. I'm having that feeling as a kid of like being like, yeah, I'm Gem, like fuck Barbie. You know what I mean? 'Cause this is who my family is. No, yeah, that's just a personal thing for me, you know?
Well, also back in the day, like the 80s Gem's cartoons are very entertaining.
Yeah.
Way more exciting than what Barbie was doing. So,
oh my God. Of course. Yeah. Barbie was like Americana. Barbie had almost a religious bend to her. You know, there was something very godly about her. Am I wrong? You know that I only like, I don't know. 'Cause Barbie, she's so blonde. She's like a little Stepford wife. You know, her whole energy is just like skinny blonde lady.
Okay.
I just feel like she's
together. Like the religious aspect. Okay.
No, I'm not joking. Barbie, listen, I'm a Jewish person. So a blonde, blue-eyed, very small boned lady like that, who with a beautiful little nose, even though she was created by a Jewish woman, funny enough. Let's unpack that self-hatred for 2 seconds, which by the way, I want to actually read her Wikipedia page. You reminded me now because I found a lot of it very funny. But and she's in the movie too. It's played by highlights for me, Rhea Perlman, who I just one of the best ever. Anyway, so Barbie, like I never connected with Barbie. Okay. I connected with my Alf doll. I connected with Gem.
This is who I want to be. This is when I grow up.
I'm not joking. Look, I've never been more serious in my life. I've never not laughed more in my life. Yes, a funny puppet, Looney Tunes, loved. You know, I liked funny stuff and I just was like a different kind of kid. So that's what I liked. So maybe that's why, you know, you're kind of unpacking for me now why maybe I already was going into this movie with a little bit of sideways a little for me. Thank you for letting me talk about it. Yeah.
No, exactly. And like, I didn't want to grow up to be like Luke Skywalker or anything. Like if anything, said Luke
Skywalker.
Herman.
That's another good Luke Skywalker. Nom de plume.
That's another. Yeah, that's a different movie.
If you want to get your yogurt bowls licked, tune in to Luke Skywalker. He's around. All right, go on.
So no, stupid. But the like when Pee Wee's Big Adventure came out, I'm like, now that's the life.
Oh, by the way, that's why we're friends, because I forgot to mention Pee Wee. Listen, I was a fucking freak. Like, there's a reason I was bullied. Pee Wee was everything to me. Like, that whole show to me defined probably my whole personality. So, and that's real. So, you know, even like Full House, I remember watching going, these kids are fucking dumb. Like, they're so annoying, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm pulling up.
Yeah.
Like, what else? You know, I loved the He-Man cartoons. You know, I was like a little weirdo.
Yeah, enough said. Like, I can't wait for that one. Who's going to play? I guess they made a He-Man movie before.
They did. I loved it. With the key, Dolph. Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren, who is supposedly, I think I've told the story, but I had a driver, I think taking me maybe to the Today Show or something. This was like, I love my stories. Maybe, I don't know, taking me, nobody really was, because when the hell else would I have a driver like that? And recently telling me there's one, he offered it up. He goes, there's one celebrity I'll never drive again. And I was like, who? He goes, Dolph Lundgren. I was like, I don't think it's going to be a problem. You know, like, don't think you're going to be running into that as an issue anytime soon, but all the best. Okay, wait, let's read quickly before we get in, because we have a lot of questions. I'm having fun with you today. I'm feeling fun. Maybe when I don't leave the house, you know, my brain goes stir crazy a little bit. I'm feeling alive, Dan. Okay, hold on one second. Here we go. It says Ruth Handler from Moscow, I believe Russia.
Oh, this I'm looking is the here. Barbara or the Barbie.
Oh, do you know how stupid I am? Do you know that I actually can't read? Do you know that I actually cannot read? Her old, I was like, she's from Moscow. No, nay, Moscow, meaning that was her her married name. Okay, listen, let me start it over. We're not going to edit that out. I want people to know I'm dumber than shit sometimes. Anyway, she was an American businesswoman, best known for inventing the Barbie doll in 1959. She was the co-founder of Mattel with her husband, Elliot. Yeah. Also served as the company's first president from 1945 to 1975. By the way, shame on them. I love Rhea Perlman, but if I were Ruth Handler watching this movie from the beyond, I'd be fucking is because she's pretty. She's a very pretty looking lady.
Oh, is she? Well,
yeah. No, she's. Listen. I'm just saying. Rhea Perlman is always played like on Cheers. You know, you name it.
Yeah.
She's Rhea. Like she's got a. I would be. I'm just saying. Okay, wait. But also genius actress. Did you know that she was forced to resign? I think they touched upon this in the movie for like a second. Well, I'll get to that in a minute.
Like tax evasion or something like that. Yeah.
She was born. Okay. Her birth name was Ruth Moscow in Denver, Colorado, which shocked to me that they even had Jewish people there back then. Forgive my ignorance. And Ida Moskowitz, Jacob and Ida Moskowitz, nice, lovely Jewish parents, married her high school boyfriend and they moved to LA in 1938. It's crazy to think about. The husband worked at Lucite and Plexiglass. How fun is that? And
cool. Yeah.
they had a furniture business. Anyway, just to get to her arrest, because then in later years, okay, poor woman had very interesting. She had breast cancer in 1970. She had to get a radical mastectomy, which is what they used at the time to combat it. But she couldn't find a good prosthesis and she ended up making her own and started a business called Nearly Me. The invention became quite popular and First Lady Betty Ford was fitted for one. How cool is that?
A
brilliant woman.
I didn't know that she was multiple great inventions. That's amazing.
No, just really, genius is what it is. But it says following, now here we get to the nail biter. Following several investigations of producing fraudulent financial reports, Ruth, Handler resigned from Mattel in 1974. Investigations continued after her resignation in 1978. She was charged with fraud and false reporting for the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. She pleaded no contest, fined $57,000, which then probably was like $1 million. I mean,
true.
You know, she had 2,500 hours of community service.
That's a lot.
She blamed her illness for making her unfocused. Ruth,
whatever.
Look at me, Ruth. Anyway, she died in 2002 at age 85 and her husband died 9 years later at the age of 95. God bless.
Oh, wow.
All right. Well, anyway, that was part of the
cool
movie.
Life. Like, did you ever see that documentary? I think it's on Netflix, like The Toys That Made Us.
I never did. No.
They have a really good Barbie episode. And really? Actually, I knew some of the things. I don't even want to spoil the, in case people haven't seen it, but I saw some of the like failed Barbie side projects, like on that documentary. And I was pretty surprised that they included it actually in the movie. It was pretty funny.
Oh, okay. Some, like, there
bizarre offshoots. Yeah.
Wait. So, let's read. Let's first of all go to part two of the episode. I think it's time, listener. We're gonna do dating. We got a dating question from a listener. Dating app conundrum. I'm excited and it's spicy. So we're going to do that. We're also going to talk. We have a lot of fun dating stuff and just like fun news and things like that. So if you are not already subscribed, go to patreon.com/mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. Go listen. There's a free trial. Tell your friends. Be sweet. Be kind. Rewind. I'm just saying words. And that's the episode. We hope you loved it. Again, if you want to hear this show every single day, go to www.patreon.com/mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. You can also follow me on Instagram, X, TikTok, all the things. Mishcall, M-I-C-H-C-O-L-L. I'm running myself into the ground for content and I want you to be a part of it. So we'll see you over there. And thanks again for joining us. Bye, guys.